Things that we need to keep in mind is this, that when temptation comes our way, we just simply need to say no. We just need to say no. We just need to say no. But it's not that easy sometimes. It is just simply not that easy. And tonight, as we look at this text, we're going to put these things in our thoughts and minds, because it's not a matter of when we're going to be tempted, or if, it's a matter of when, I should say, because that, in fact, is going to happen. So when is it going to happen, and when it happens, are we going to be prepared for it? James tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men liberty and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for wavering is like the wave of the sea, driven and is tossed. You know, temptations really, really come in so many ways and in such a variety of ways that I think that sometimes we just let our hearts and minds become callous to these, and we forget having a defense system ready to go. Because the devil will toss little things in our way, and we'll say, well, I conquered that. Did you hear what I said? I conquered? We didn't conquer anything. It was God who helped us through these things. And what happens is that Satan gets us to think, well, I conquered this, I conquered that. We let our defenses down, and then, bam! He's got us. Right where we weren't, right when we weren't expecting it. He's got us. And the temptations that we look at come in so many different forms and come in such easy ways. The things that just ease up on us and slip up on us. You know, we want to be included with people in the things that are going on. So as a Debbie Downer or a Tommy the Timid. So when we get invited to something or have an opportunity to run with a socially elite, we're tempted to do that. We want to run. We want to be with the people who are known. We want to be among the known, and we want to run along with them just about everything. It may not only be this idea of inclusion, because that inclusion kind of fundamentally works with all three of the things that we see the devil uses so cunningly to rob our souls from the mighty God. Now, you see, nobody can take us out of his hand, but he entices us and we will walk away from him. In 1 John 2, verse 16, we read these words, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So as we consider our text for this evening, and we see what Jesus was dealing with here, we say we should just say no, but it's not always that easy, because sometimes Satan comes with a cheap shot we weren't expecting. He comes at a time we weren't expecting. He works on us at a time we weren't expecting. When we go back to Luke 4 and we begin, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned to Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended afterward, he was hungry. He was hungry? 40 days he hadn't eaten? Are you kidding me? He was hungry? He was on the verge of starvation. Now, I've been told that I can be quite a diva if I don't eat most of one day. Imagine the position that Jesus was in, how he was feeling physically. Have you ever been in a spot like that where you didn't eat all day and it was getting close to supper time? You hadn't had anything to eat all day. And you're thinking, boy, it doesn't matter what it is. You could put ketchup on cardboard and I'll eat it right now. You know, we're thinking along that line. We're ready to go. Jesus had been 40 of those days. 40 of those days, here comes the devil. You see, that's when he comes. He comes to get you because he's merciless. He's going to hit you with a cheap shot. I think I made myself a note that when those Snickers commercials really do quite a bit of good demonstrating how we can be when we're hungry. And Jesus was one who had been 40 of those days. And like the Snickers commercials, we can be difficult when we're hungry. But it might just not be that by itself. It might be a sickness that keeps coming back. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. It sure would be nice to feel as good as other people do. Maybe you're emotionally starved. Emotionally starved. It could be that those things are because there was a death in the family or a death of a friend. Or maybe there was a huge personal injustice. And the devil, by the way, he won't get in your way when you're focused. He's going to get in your way when you are distracted. That's when he throws the cheap shot. And according to the Bible, the forces that we are dealing with are truly staggering. When we look at Ephesians chapter 6, we see Paul scribing these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Protect yourself, he's saying, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness, where? In high places. The pressure to sin is something that comes upon us and feels just overwhelming sometimes. It's just this one thing, just this one step, just this one thing. Nobody will notice. God won't see it. That's the devil taking his cheap shot in your moment of weakness. That's why we could never point our finger at somebody else and say, wonder why they fell to that. Tug on our coats and say, I can't believe he or she would do such a thing or not do a thing. You see, when others fall to temptation, we need to be there to help them and lend a hand that they would stand up again, because we've all been in that situation. We need to not leave them lying on the battlefield of Christianity, but help them up and walk again. The merciless one will strike when they are down. Now some, well, I've got this all under control. I'm okay. I'm not down. And then others might be asking themselves this question, how can I tell? Well, I was reading a theological journal recently where there were some surveys taken. And readers were asked to rank the greatest spiritual challenge they had. And I thought I would share this with you. On the top of the list, on the very top of the list of all the temptations, materialism. That was the one that was up on top. Now, the second one on the list was pride, and some of the others were then in this order, self-centeredness, laziness, anger, bitterness, sexual lust, envy, gluttony, and lying. But 81% of the survey respondents noted that temptations were more potent or stronger when they had neglected their time with God. And also, 57% said they were most greatly impacted when they were physically tired. Now, it seems like we can easily solve this problem, right? Spend more time with God in His Word and in prayer and get rest. There it is. Very simple. The doctor tells me, get more exercise and eat less and you'll lose weight. Very simple, right? But it's not so easy sometimes. Not so easy at all. So when the temptation problem was presented in this survey, there was a resolve that was presented, and it said those who resolved their problems, 84% of them said that they were able to be stronger in the face of temptation. 84% said it was prayer. They took it to God. They told Him everything. Stuff they wouldn't tell their best friends, they took it to God. 84% said when we went to God with it, that was when we were stronger. And then 76% said, he's talking about just saying no. 76% said they avoided compromising positions. They kept themselves out. They kept the door open. They made sure that there were plenty of people around. They didn't allow themselves to fall into those kinds of things. And when others invited them, you know, for those who've studied the firefighters program that we did last year, when they were invited to get in the box, they just kept their mouths closed until they got a grip. They avoided those situations. 66% said it was Bible study. And then 52% said that they dealt best with these things by being accountable to someone. So a cheap shot's coming your way. I'm standing here to tell you this. A cheap shot's coming your way. It's coming my way too. Not only do we need to be prepared for it, but we need to be prepared to help each other when those things happen to us. Jesus was prepared when temptation hit. He dealt with the lust of the eyes. You know, when we look at this text, we see that the devil took him up to a high mountain there in verse 4. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power I will give to you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore will worship me, and all then shall be yours. And Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. Now you remember when we looked back, we saw that there were two temptations that were really, really those things that were important. And one of those was materialism, and that's related to the lust of the eyes. And then there's pride, which of course is the pride of life. So if these are a pressure in your life, we need to be preparing for them completely. Now notice as we look back at our text that the devil promises Jesus the entire world for just one little thing. One little thing, that's all. Now, Satan is being very smooth here, as he often is. He's giving a half-truth. You see, while it is true he was the God of the age and the God of the world, it's not true that he owns them and can give them to whoever he wishes. When Adam listened to it, he fell before Satan. Adam, in essence, gave up his power. He forfeited to Satan. Satan took control, and he took control of so many things on this earth, but the earth is not his to give. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 32. So here is that little half-truth here from Satan and a little wishful thinking. Nevertheless, Satan does offer to Jesus what he does have, this rulership, if you will. He's offering to Jesus an easy road to become political and military and ruling, and the ruling sort of Messiah that most of the Jews in that day were expecting. But there was still one little hitch. One little condition, he says, if you'll worship before me, then all will be yours. The word for worship here is proskynesis, and literally means to bend or to bend the knee. Satan is asking Jesus to bend his knee. You see, Satan knows that a day is coming for him which he is not looking forward to at all, when every tongue will confess and every knee will bow before the mighty Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the same day that he too will bend his knee, a day that he is not looking forward to at all. You see, Satan is trying to turn the tables. He's trying to take those things that belong to Christ alone. And if Jesus were to bow to Satan, the whole universe would too. But Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 9, says that God has exalted Jesus and given him a name above every name. And that name of Jesus is the one to whom every knee will bow, those in heaven and those on the earth. And Satan knew that this is one of the reasons Jesus came back to the earth, to regain control. And Satan doesn't want to give up his control. He doesn't want to bend the knee to Jesus. The question for us is to whom do we bend the knee? And we will say sometimes, to no one. To no one would I bow, for it's an insult for me to bow before anyone. You see what we saw there in Philippians chapter 2? There's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess before the mighty God. Are we bending our knee to him? Or have we fallen victim to Satan's ploy, which says, I've got this under control. I've got it. But if I've got it, when temptation comes my way, can you answer as Jesus did, it is written? Now look with me at verses 9 through 12. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time, the devil said to him, all this power I'll give to you, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it, thou for shall worship me, and all those worship before me. Now, wait a minute, I got off base here, so let me get back here. Verses 9 through 12 again. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you should dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered and said to him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, here's Satan. He's going, well, Jesus answered me, it is written. And he might do the same to you. Say, oh, I can answer him, it is written. And what he does was he takes Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, and he puts a little twist on them. You see, the angels were not there to prevent Jesus from committing suicide anymore for you or I. That's not the point. But see, that's what Satan was doing. Let me challenge you to do this. Let me challenge you to get out here. You go ahead and try that. So important that we keep in mind those things that are written, and that we keep them clear in our minds. You know, once upon a time, I had someone come to me and say, I have great desire to be married. And so with this in mind, let me explain to you how I have the right to be remarried. And they began to paint for me this spot of relationships. And when the story was finished being told, they said, see there? By word of the law, I would have the right. First thing I've learned is, you're not going to tell me everything, are you? Second thing I've learned is, I honestly don't believe that the letters of the law sometimes are going to be the things that are going to prevent us from heaven. I think it's going to be our attitudes about the letters of the law. Our attitudes toward these things, well, let me show God how I'm going to use His word, and I will be just fine. When you stand before the God of the universe, and you do that, and Jesus is not your attorney, the case is going to be lost. The case is going to be lost. We've got to let go of these things that get in our way, that these things that we allow to stand between us and God. And like we heard this morning on those things, we need to humble ourselves a little bit, lower our heads and maybe lower our voices a little bit, and let God be the one who leads. You know, I'm thinking as we look at these things that our Savior, all of the power of the heavens, had the ability to indeed pull down the host of heaven to protect him from the cross. He could have called down all kinds of punishment on those who were around him. But the reason why Jesus could say no hinges on one word: love. He loves you so much, he loves me so much, that he was willing to go to that cross at Calvary. He was willing to go there and die. And each and every time you and I sin, we crucify him again. Have you ever thought about that? Every time we sin, one more time on the nail. Every time we sin, one more time on the wood. And there on that cross at Calvary, he hung there and said to those who are round about, or said about those, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So what do? When we find ourselves distanced from God because we have sinned? Look with me, if you will, at Acts chapter 2. We're going to read beginning at verse 36. Peter is speaking here, and he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what are we going to do? And Peter answered, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When they realized where they were and what sin had done, they were humbled. tonight, as we think on these things, and we sometimes smile with one another and about this idea of just saying no. The truth of the matter is, we're all in the same place. Paul wrote to the church at Rome and said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, chapter 3 and verse 23. And because of that, we find ourselves separated from God. Chapter 6 and verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. But we have a God who loves us so much that he paid the price. Sent his son to die on that cross at Calvary. And with those things in mind, those that we read about in Acts chapter 2, they gladly received those words, and those that were there were baptized. And the Lord added to the church, to his church, that very day. So with these things in mind, as much as we sometimes kind of laugh about those things that cause us to stumble, sin is serious business. Because sin's going to cost us our souls. So we need to make sure that we're right with God. There was a young man that was here this morning that had heard the good news and wanted to understand more. And we studied together, and he said before he left this building, he knew he needed to obey the gospel. Because he understood if he left in an unsafe position, he would lose his soul for eternity if he should die before the next sunrise. Now with these things in mind, this is not what I say. This is what God has to say. So as we sing the invitation song in just a moment, ask yourself, where do I stand before God right this moment? If I should never see another beautiful day, and I've never put him on in baptism, I'm lost for eternity. And if I find myself with a heart of stone, we need to start breaking it right now. Give ourselves completely to him. So as we sing the invitation song, say no to Satan. Say yes to Jesus Christ as together we stand and sing.
Christ only, always living. may be seated.
Good evening, and welcome to the Conyers Church of Christ. If you're visiting this evening, you're truly our honored guest. And we ask that if you are to take a card in the